Amen. You can go ahead and be seated this evening. It's good to be here tonight. I thank the Lord for this opportunity. And it has been a while since I preached here, but I thank the Lord for allowing me. I appreciate Brother Shepherd for inviting me. And I just appreciate the opportunity to preach. And, you know, it really amazed me that there was as many that showed up tonight as what there was. I mean, he announced it, and I was like, why did you do that? But, you know, Stevie's not here tonight, and when we come out of the office in there, he said, you're going to preach? And he started holding his stomach. So either he was just portraying what he was going to do, or God was saying, see there, you shouldn't make statements like that if you don't mean it. So either way, you know, he probably shouldn't have said it. So no, but it's good to have everybody here tonight. Good to be saved. I appreciate all the testimonies and just hearing everybody brag on the Lord a little bit. Amen. It's good to testify and thank the Lord for all His goodness and mercy and His grace, because if we lived 1,000 years, we could never thank Him enough. Amen. So we'll have all eternity to try, but we'll never get the job done. Amen. So if you would tonight, open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew, and Matthew chapter number 4, and Brother Shepherd was almost right there at my text this morning, and so we're going to back up just a little bit and go to Matthew chapter number 4. You know, the message tonight, I told Angie tonight, I said, I'm going to bust some hides tonight. She kind of smiled, and I said, well, I'll probably be busting my hide. And I wasn't joking too much. You know, it's amazing. You know, the Lord will deal with preachers in their own life, and then they just got to talk about it and then preach about it. And, you know, whoever it's for, whatever it's for, this is what I had peace about preaching tonight. And if you'll listen, I'm sure you'll be able to take away a nugget, something that'll help you, something that'll change your life, something that you can praise and honor and glorify Him. I'm going to begin looking tonight in verse number 18, Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 18. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said, saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And straightway left their nets and followed him." Let's go to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Father, I do want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, and your love. Lord, I am so thankful for the cross of Calvary, for salvation, the blood that was shed. I'm thankful, Lord, for Island Ford Baptist Church and for Brother Shepherd and for those that have been so faithful here for so many years. And Lord, I want to thank you for the singing tonight, and I just pray that you continue to help in the service. I pray that your will would be done, and I pray that all would be said for your honor and your glory, and that you would change our lives. And we'll bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, as we come to the text here, we don't know a whole lot about the Lord's life up until this point of the Scriptures. So if we were to back up and try to take the Gospels and go into chronological order, up until this point, we've heard more about the birth of Jesus than anything else in His life. So Luke goes into great detail, Matthew talks about it, but they talk about the birth of Jesus. Then it goes on and talks about how after Herod died and Herod's son was reigning, that they were relocated into Nazareth, and so we hear a little bit about that. And then it jumps all the way ahead to when Jesus was about 12 years old, and we find out that Jesus made a trip to Jerusalem to the temple with His parents at the age of 12 years old. And He astonished the doctors and the lawyers with His knowledge and His wisdom and His teaching as they sat and they listened, and He asked questions, and then He spoke a little bit. But then we jump in time from there, and the Bible takes us up to the preaching of John. And this is actually where Mark and John begin their Gospels, is at the preaching of John. And I'm thankful that God put a voice in the wilderness, a man crying aloud, saying, make the paths of the Lord straight, preparing the way of the Lord. And then we come to the baptism of Jesus, where Jesus went down into the water, and when He come back up, the Holy Spirit lighted upon Him, and the Bible says that straightway He come up out of the water, and immediately the Spirit led Him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil for 40 days. And boy, I tell you, there's a lot that could be said about that, but it goes on when He come out of the wilderness that Jesus heard about the imprisonment of John. And the Bible says that He began to preach. He began to preach repentance at that point in time. And this is really where the ministry of the Lord began, when He began to preach the bidding of His Heavenly Father. And so we find that as He began to preach, that He was rejected in His hometown of Nazareth. And that He may even made the statement, He said, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country. They would not accept it there. They would not listen to what He had to say, but they rejected it. And so He leaves there and He goes down into Galilee, where we find Him right here as He begins to walk about the Sea of Galilee. And so this is where I want to pick up tonight. And I just want to take a few thoughts. We'll go to a couple different passages. It'll be brief and to the point, and we'll be dismissed. But the Bible says here that Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. And I don't know if maybe He was meditating, I don't know if He was praying, or if He was there with just the intent and purpose of finding these four men that day. I tend to believe the latter myself, but either way, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and He saw two men. He saw there Simon, which is called Peter, and Andrew, His brother. Now, if we were to turn and look in the book of John, we'd find that Simon, Peter, and Andrew, all of them, they had heard of Jesus. They had seen Jesus. And I don't know to what extent, Brother Shepherd, that they actually had been able to witness Jesus, and maybe his boyhood, and maybe in his life, and maybe just from hearsay. But no doubt they knew a little bit about who Jesus was. But Jesus shows up on the scene that day, and He saw them out there casting their net into the sea. That was their business. That was their trade. That was their livelihood. They were there with their partners not far beyond them. James and John, we'll read about them in just a minute. And they were there working. They were there toiling. They were out there making a living for their family in this business that they had. So they were casting the net into the sea because they were fishers. And in verse number 19, the Bible says, "And He saith unto them, Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, they knew exactly what this meant. It didn't catch them, you know, it wasn't some great mystery. Well, I wonder what He means by that. He just said, "I'll make you fishers of men." They knew you throw the net into the sea for the purpose of bringing in fish. So now He wants them to go out and to bring in men for His honor and His glory. It was just a call. He didn't stand and go down into the city and call some public gathering and make an announcement and get heralds together and blow the trumpets. No, He just went to where they were at, and He didn't even yell it says. He said that He saith unto them, "Follow Me."
Amen.
Just a simple command.
Yeah.
Just a simple statement. Follow Me. Now, if you've been saved, you've heard that call in your life.
Amen.
To follow Him. But maybe there's some in here that's even heard a little bit more of a call of God to follow Me, to do something a little bit more, to do something besides just warm a church pew, or to sit in the church, or to just to read your Bible and to bring honor and glory in prayer. Maybe you've heard just a little bit of a calling, as these men did that day. He said, "To follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." I've got a purpose for you, Peter. I've got a purpose for you, Andrew. I've got something in store for you that I want you to do. But before you can do it, you've got to follow Me. You've got to be willing to leave what you're doing behind you and take that first step and then the second step and to follow Me. Where are you going, Jesus? Well, I'm not sure, but follow Me and you'll find out. Are you going to your house? Well, follow Me and you'll find out. Are you going into the city? Well, follow Me and you will find out. It was a simple command to follow Him. Now, Brother Shepherd, they could have bowed their neck. They could have said, "Look, we're fishing. Can't you see we're casting right now? We're trying to make a living. We're trying to earn our livelihood to provide for our family. And we've got this business going. Our partners are over here in this boat. We've got something to do. If you'll just let us finish what we're doing, then we'll see if we can find..." Where are you going to be at in 10 or 15 minutes? Where are you going to be at tomorrow, Jesus? No, they didn't say that. The Bible says, in verse number 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed Him. I don't see where they took the time to pull the nets into the boat. I don't see where they took the time to clean the nets. I don't see the time where they took the time to put up their tackle and to secure the boat. I'm sure they had other workers there. But Brother Shepherd, it says that straightway, that means immediately, right away, without hesitation, they dropped what they were doing, they left it behind, and they simply followed Him. They didn't do anything great at that time. They didn't do any kind of miracle. They didn't call down fire from heaven. They didn't start saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? You know, I'm following you where at. They just followed because that's what He said to do, is just to follow. So they're following Him and they're going along in verse number 21. And going on from thence, He saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and He called them. So here's James and John, the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee. They were also in their boat. The book of John tells us that they were partners. They worked together in this business. So Jesus has Peter and Andrew, and they're following Him over to James and John. And He tells them also to follow Him. He called them. And the Bible says also in verse 22, and they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed Him. Here they were mending their nets. They had had some problems. They had had some tears in their nets. But that didn't matter. It says that Andrew and Peter left their nets. But it says James and John left their father and their ship.
That's right.
And they followed Him. Verse number 22. Immediately, without hesitation. All right? This is my dad. Not only my dad, but this is our business. I've got obligations, but yet the Master has called, and so I must follow. I must do what the Master has called me to do. And you know, God does the same with men today.
Yes, sir.
Paul said many times that he was called of God to be an apostle. God had anointed him to preach the gospel. And so he did what God had told him to do. When he was there on the Damascus Road and the bright light shined forth, he fell down on his feet and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And what did Jesus say? He said, go into the city and it'll be told you what to do. Now he could have negotiated. He could have bucked a little bit and said, well, why can't you just tell me? You're right here with me. But no, he got up, he went to the city, and he waited and he listened to hear what God would have him to do. God does not always reveal His whole plan. God does not always reveal tomorrow even. It's the right now. What does God want you to do right now? And just simply obey Him. And Brother Shepherd, from that point, they followed Him and they done many mighty works. The Bible started out here in Galilee. The Bible says that they went and Jesus began to preach. Jesus began to do many miracles. And the Bible says that many people followed Him because He spoke with authority. Jesus began to do all kinds of things. He healed a leper. He healed the centurion's servant. And He healed a man with an unclean spirit. And He goes on and He finally heals Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. So He was doing all these things, and Peter, James, John, and Andrew simply followed Him.
Amen.
Now, were they always perfect? No, they was not always perfect. You hear people preach about Peter all the time, right? They wasn't always perfect. In fact, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 5. While you're turning there, I'll tell you that this same account is found in Mark chapter number 1, where Jesus called them, said to follow Me, and they left their nets, they left their father, they left their ship, and they followed. So then we turn on over to the book of Luke chapter number 5, and it says in verse number 1, this was after the Lord healed Peter's mother-in-law, it says, and it come to pass that as the people pressed upon Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now here Jesus is continuing in the work. The Bible says that when he began his ministry, he began to preach repentance. Right. And we find here that Jesus has had no deviation from what he started to do. Right. He put his hand to the plow, and being the good example, he did not look back. Amen. Wherever he went, he taught in the synagogue. Wherever he went, he healed the sick. Wherever he went, he was an example of his Father. Wherever he went, he preached repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand.
Amen.
So here he is at the Lake of Gennesaret, preaching the Word of God. People came to hear the Word of God. But in verse number 2, we find out that he sees two ships standing by the lake. Now that's very convenient for him because he wants to get into one and preach. It says, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Now who do you think these fishermen were? I'll tell you who they were. They were Peter, James, and John. Andrew is not mentioned here, but Peter, James, and John had not been with the Lord during this time. Peter, James, and John had not been assisting him with all these people that had thronged him round and about. They had not been with him to do whatever. They were not following him. They were out in the boat fishing while he was on the land ministering in the Word of God. Did Jesus not say, follow me? Did they not put one foot in front of the other and begin that trip to follow him? Then what are they doing back in the boat?
Amen.
Now, Jesus didn't scold them. He didn't castigate them. He didn't bust them over the head. He didn't call them wicked dogs and devils. He just simply said that he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, verse number 3, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. All right, Peter, if you're not going to follow me, I'm going to find you and I'm going to bring the ministry to you. And so, he goes into the ship. I didn't see where he knocked on the board and said, Captain, can I enter? He just went on board. But he was plied. He said, Peter, he prayed him. He said, Peter, can you thrust out just a little bit from land? I know you've been working. I know that you're washing your nets at this present time. You're laboring. You got stuff to do, but all these people have come that I might minister to them. Would you just thrust out a little bit of land from the land so people can gather around and I can teach them? And Peter did what Jesus asked him to do. I don't know how long it might have been, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 2 hours, 4 hours, the Bible don't say. But it says in verse number 4, and when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, I don't know. It seems to me like Peter's not doing what Peter's supposed to be doing. But Jesus still blesses him, Brother Shepherd. In the work that he's doing, Jesus is like, you know what? I told you to follow me. You're not really following me right now, but I'm going to bless you anyways. And he told Peter to let down his nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Now, here's a great, abundant blessing from the Lord. That these men that were not following got brought back into the ministry because Jesus went to them. And now Jesus blesses them abundantly. So many fish that their ship began to sink. Now, I don't know about you. I don't think that's typical. I've never been much of a fisherman, but I've not seen too many stories where they go out and they catch so many fish that their ship begins to sink. Especially that close to land, Brother Shepherd. They were close enough that they could teach off of the ship. They let down their nets. There were so many, they brought the other ships, and the ships were about to sink.
That's right.
Now, when Peter saw this in verse number 8, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Now, Jesus did not have to point out his sin. Jesus did not have to show him, Peter, I told you to follow me and you're not following me. All Jesus did was bless him and show him what he could do for him if he would just follow. It does not, I have no doubt in my mind that Peter, James, and John could have been following the Lord, could have helped in the ministry, could have done everything that Jesus wanted them to do, and then Jesus could have said, you know what? Let's go out and go fishing. They could have went out, dipped the nets, caught the fish and been done, and would not have had to wasted their time all the prior night before. Their time, their energy, no doubt they were tired, and they had toiled all night long without taking anything. What did it accomplish them? What will it accomplish us when we're doing our own thing instead of the thing that God has asked us to do? Instead of the thing that God has put in our hand and put in our path and asked us to go forward and to do. And if we don't do it, if we don't follow, I mean, here we were at one time, amen, Jesus has called me. He's beckoned me. He told me to follow Him. So I'm going to follow the Lord. Oh, what's this over here? I'll catch up, Lord. I'll catch up and right back where you started from. Is that not where Jesus had called them from? And they went right back to it. And you know what? We're creatures of habit. We like doing our thing. We think we've got it all figured out in our mind, and we get discouraged along the way, or we get hurt, or our feelings get hurt, our emotions get distraught, we get distracted, things plague us. There's plenty of distractions in this world around us to keep us from doing the things of God. And if we're not careful, if we're not focused, if we're not keeping our eyes on the feet of the Lord so we know where to follow, we will fall off the path and go right back to where we were when Jesus called us and asked us to follow. So the simple question before going farther is, are we going where God has told us to go in the path? Did we start off right and we've kind of veered away? Have we jumped in and we're not going the way that we were because of distractions, because of things in this life that have kept us from doing what God has called us to do? Verse number 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Amen. Told him to fear not. And when they had brought their ships to land, what does it say here? They forsook all and followed him. Amen. Now in Matthew and in Mark, we see that they forsook their nets, they forsook their father, and they forsook their ships. But here in this verse, we find they forsook all. They didn't hold back anything. And that's the only way that we'll ever fully follow the Lord is when we decide that we're just going to forsake all. We might not even know what we're forsaking, but we've got to make up our mind it's all. And it don't matter if it's going to be the job. It don't matter if it's going to be mama or daddy or brother or sister or amusement, as it was being said this morning. It don't matter what it is. We're going to forsake the world. We're going to forsake the things of this life so that we can follow the Lord and do what He has beckoned us to do. We must decide to forsake all. We cannot keep that little part in our heart and say, you know what, I'll give God this half of my heart, but this other half is reserved for me. This other half is reserved for my family. We can't do that. We have got to decide to forsake all. Now, in a minute, we're going to jump to the end of John. But from this point, Brother Shepherd, to John, I don't find where they ever went out on another ship to fish. Maybe they did. I'm not saying they didn't, but we don't read about it. The only time I see that they were fishing is when Jesus told Peter to go fishing for his tax money. Amen? Other than that, I don't see them casting any nets. I could be wrong, and don't hold me to that. I didn't comb the whole New Testament to find out. But I do find that it seems like they got their priorities straight at this point. It seems that they finally understood, you know what? I gave up my nets and all that, kind of. But because they didn't give it all up, they went right back to what they had given up. And that's the same way we'll be. If we don't surrender all, we sing the song, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender all. But do we really mean it? Have we really given it all? Will we go wherever God wants us to go? We used to sing a song as a family when I was still living with Mom and Dad's house. And I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll do God's will with a heart sincere. I'll go where you want me to go. But do we really mean that? Have we given it all to the Lord? Have we taken our heart and said, Lord, it's on the altar. Whatever you'd have for me, that's what I want to do. So from here in Luke chapter 5 all the way through to the crucifixion, we find that they followed Him. They done what they were supposed to do. But let's turn over to the book of John, chapter number 21. Many things happened. 3 years passed from this point to the crucifixion, about 3 years. They see thousands fed with just a few morsels of food. They see people raised from the dead. They see the lame healed. They see the blind healed. They see many miracles. They assist the Lord in doing whatever He wants Him to do. But then the day comes when they go out under a dark sky and Jesus, in the lowest point of His life, goes into a garden and begins to pray while they fall asleep. And Jesus comes and said, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. I mean, they followed Him into the garden, but then they fell asleep 3 times. So then they wake up and they see the arrest of Jesus as they come in and they lead Him away, and that the prophets and the Scriptures might be fulfilled. The Bible says that they fled as sheep having no shepherd. And then they watch from afar off as Jesus is scourged, and as He's beaten with a cat of nine tails, and as He's put through a false court system and tried, and they see those that are false witnesses that rise up against Him and give false testimony, and they stand afar off. No doubt discouraged, Brother Shepherd, no doubt fearful for their own lives, and they're bewildered, they're not for sure what to do. Peter, even warming himself by the fire, begins to deny the Lord 3 times. And the Bible says that he goes out and he weeps bitterly. And I begin to wonder, maybe he was wondering in his heart, am I still following? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And then they behold as Jesus is put upon the cross and as He's crucified. And they behold as His last breath is breathed and the sky turns dark. And He hollers out and says, it is finished. Then they see the body of the Lord taken down, carried to a tomb and laid in a tomb. And for 3 days they wonder, will He rise again? They hear the stories. But on that third morning they find out, as Mary tells them, that Jesus has risen. They run. They check it out for themselves. And sure enough, Jesus had risen from the dead. So they're going through this roller coaster of emotions. And so now the Bible tells us that They're in the upper room on the Lord's day, and Jesus shows up in the midst of them, but Thomas is not there. And so afterwards they go and they tell Thomas, Thomas, we saw the Lord. And Thomas wouldn't believe. He said, unless I see the prints of the nails for myself and thrust my hand to his side, I won't believe. So what does Jesus do? He shows up again and he says, Thomas, here I am. Behold the nail prints in my hands. Thrust your hand into my side and see that it's not me. And so then, right here for the third time in chapter 21, the Bible says, and these things, after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed He Himself. They were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and 2 other of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. Now it makes me wonder, had Peter forgotten that he was supposed to follow? Or maybe because Jesus was dead, now risen, he don't know how to follow? But regardless of the reason, he finds himself turning and going right back to what Jesus had called him away from. He went right back to what he had forsaken. He forsook the nets. He forsook his father. He forsook the ships. He forsook all, but in this time of tragedy, in this time of bewilderment, he finds himself right back in the ship, right back with the fish, right back with the nets, and going out to try to do some fishing. But what happens? Once again, he catches nothing. But before that, he said, I go fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. So he's a bad influence here, is he not? He says, I'm just going to go fishing, guys. I don't know what else to do. I don't know where to go. They buried Jesus. He rose again. I'm scared. I'm confused. But one thing I know I like to do is get the nets wet every once in a while. So I'm going to go out and do some fishing. And so they go. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Does that sound familiar?
Yep.
I think that was intentional. Verse number 4, and when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. Short and sweet, right? I'm sure they were a little agitated, a little aggravated. And here's this guy on the shore saying, hey, have y'all caught anything? No! Just leave us alone. Y'all ever been there fishing or hunting and somebody said, well, did you get anything? No, I didn't get anything. Get all mad and angry and take it. It ain't their fault you didn't get nothing. They said no. But here Jesus said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. Now what did they think at that point? Maybe their minds began to tick. Maybe, you know, this has happened before, or, you know, maybe we didn't fish on that boat side of the ship. I don't know what they were thinking, but either way, it goes on to say, verse number six, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. I mean, well, how else could you explain it, right? They had toiled all night. They hadn't caught anything. And then they were told to cast on the other side. And I'm sure that while they were pulling that, their mind went all the way back to the book of Luke chapter 5 and said, you know what? I remembered another time, Peter, when we were out toiling all night long. We hadn't caught one stinking flounder all night long. And then Jesus told us to cast on the other side. And when we cast, we caught so many fish that we couldn't even contain it. The ships began to sink. And now we're trying to pull these up. It's got to be the Lord, Peter. It's got to be the Lord. And it was. It was. And it goes on to say, now when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself in the sea. Now, I believe this is Hall theology right here, okay? We know that he put his coat on him because he was naked. He was out there, he had gotten hot, whatever the reason, frustrated, he had taken off his clothes, he was out there fishing, and he found out it was the Lord, so he put his coat back on. Okay, he's going to cover up his nakedness, which is what people should do, right? But then he cast himself into the sea. Now, I've heard preachers say all my life he jumped in the sea because he was naked. I don't believe that. He had already put his coat on. He wasn't naked anymore. And I remember another time he had been out in the middle of the sea all night long, and he had been fighting the storm. He had been fighting the waves. He was tired. He was weary. He wondered about his life, if it was going to be taken or not. And he looks out and he sees a spirit on the water. And Jesus said, fear not, it is I, be not afraid. And then Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, bid me to come unto you on the land. And I believe Peter was tired. I believe he seen the Lord on the water and he thought, you know what? I'd be better off with the Lord out there on the water than I would be in this sinking ship. So he asked the Lord, please just let me come to you. He stepped out on the boat and he was walking on water. And I believe that he jumped into the water here because he's in the ship. Jesus is on the shore. He now knows that it's the Lord. So he puts his coat on him and he starts swimming for the shoreline to get to the Lord just as fast as he could. He had not been following the Lord. He had turned his back on the Lord. He had went back to what God had called him out of, doing the same thing that he was doing before the Lord called him to follow. And now he realizes the error of his way. He remembers in Luke chapter 5, life where the Lord called him the second time and he said, you know what? It worked out that time. I remember now the error of my way. I need to get back to the Lord because he called me to follow. He's up there. I'm out here. So the only way I can follow him is to swim to shore. And Peter made a beeline for the shore to follow the Lord. He was no longer fishing. He was no longer cleaning the nets. He was no longer mending the nets. But he was getting to the Lord as fast as he could do it. Now the Bible says in verse 8, and the other disciples came in a little ship. They wasn't as rambunctious as Peter. They wasn't as gung-ho. They said, well, Peter, swim on. We'll see you on shore. They get in a little ship. They make their way to the shore. It says, for they were not far from land, but as it were, 200 cubits, about 300 feet. Is it not ironic that they were probably about as close as what they were in Luke chapter 5 when God gave them the second chance? And here's their third. And it says, as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Now, where did those fish and bread come from, you reckon? Because they hadn't caught anything all night. Right. Jesus saith unto them, bring the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Amen. So here again, Jesus, he's not punishing them. Right. He's not beating them over the head. Brother Shepherd, he just welcomes them.
That's right.
He just welcomes them. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the Bible says this. It says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
Amen.
Jesus had done, went by the Sea of Galilee that first time and said, follow me.
Right.
Once he made that statement, he wasn't going to retract it.
That's right.
He wasn't going to turn his back on them. He wasn't going to kick them out of the fold because they slipped up a little bit. He just welcomed them. He said, come on, let's eat. Come and dine. You got to be hungry. You've been toiling all night. Here's a fire. Here's some fish. Here's some bread. Come and dine. While you were out there trying to catch fish, I already had the fish right here. You didn't have to be out there. I'm still the God that can supply all your need. I'm still the God that can give you what you need. No need in going back out into the world. No need in going and doing your own thing. Just follow me. Come and dine. Now, we all know the story here, how they came, they ate. The Bible says in verse 14 that this was the third time. And it says that when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? It does this three times. Do you love me, Peter? Peter says, you know I love you. Do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know I love you. Then the third time, he was a little bit vexed. And he said, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, feed my sheep. Then it says in verse number 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. And we know because it says in verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Now that seems a little bit discouraging. I mean, the Lord's saying, follow me, by the way, you're going to die a terrible death.
Yes.
You know, that don't seem real encouraging.
Right.
But the Lord knew at that point, you know what, if he's going to follow me with this kind of news, he's going to follow me no matter what.
That's right.
Look what it says. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. You know, his beckon and cry never did change. From the very beginning, Brother Shepherd, it was follow me. They followed him. They got off path a little bit, and he went to them again and said, follow me. And you can read through the New Testament where many people come to the Lord, and he just said, follow me.
Right.
And all the way up until the end where they were distraught, back out on the ship where they shouldn't have been, and Jesus, just with loving kindness and with open arms, beckons them one more time and says, follow me. And you know what? As I said, Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
Right.
So the question tonight is, have you ever heard that beckoning call of God to follow me?
Amen.
I don't know if maybe I'm talking about a preacher or a missionary or an evangelist or a Sunday school teacher or a prayer warrior or whatever it might be, this, what I'm speaking of, the text tonight is talking about the full-time ministry, following the Lord, going where you have you to go. And if you've ever heard that call, you know what? His call has not changed.
Right.
He hasn't changed his mind simply because you got distracted.
Yep.
He hasn't changed his mind because maybe you got a little bit rebellious. He hasn't changed his mind simply because maybe you decided that you're too tired or you're too old or you're too weak or you're too poor or you're too this or that.
Right.
God's calling is without repentance. Once He says it, He does not change. He does not change His mind. He does not decide differently. Well, let's see if we can come to a compromise, son. No, He don't compromise with you. He don't negotiate. It's either follow Him or don't follow Him.
Right.
Either have the blessings of God or don't have the blessings of God. Now, in the book of Exodus, chapter 14, we know that the children of Israel had come up out of Egypt. And Pharaoh says this, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in." Now, that didn't happen there at the Red Sea because God wound up killing all of Pharaoh. But you know, when you read your Bible, you'll find out Pharaoh was somewhat of a prophet here because once they got across that Red Sea and they got that rebellious spirit and they had that unbelief, God had called them to follow Him to the Promised Land. And because they would not go, because they would not hearken, they got entangled in the wilderness for 40 years until the stiff-necked bunch, until the wicked bunch died off, and then God took the younger ones on into the Promised Land. Where are we going to be at, church? Are we going to follow God, or are we going to have to die in the wilderness? Are we entangled in the wilderness tonight? Has God called us to revival? Has God called us to a worshiping attitude? Has God said, you know what? You're dead. You're cold. This is not the way I want you to go. And have we turned our back on that and gotten entangled in the affairs of this life? Because 2 Timothy 2:4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." What pleases God? Not great and mighty works. What pleases God? Not an eloquent speech. What pleases God? Not a nice suit, not a two-piece or a three-piece suit. The thing that pleases God is a willing heart and a spirit that will follow Him and do what He's been called to do and not get entangled in the things of this life. If you'll be a good soldier and you'll follow your commander-in-chief into the heat of battle, wherever he may have you to go, whatever he may have you to do whatever he'd have you to do, then you'll be all right. You'll get the job done. I mean, he's the best commander that you'll ever have. He won't lead you wrong. He won't have you go the wrong way. You can't get lost if you will just follow him. And the Bible says that you'll please him. And what the reason it's so important to please him, because he's the one that chose us. He's the one that called us. He's the one that we're following. Now you might say, "Brother Ben, it's too late. You know, I felt like maybe God years ago wanted me to do something." Or, "Brother Ben, I felt like at one time in my life, I kind of felt like God maybe wanted to use me in some aspect or another, but I believe it's too late. I believe that, you know, I've wasted too much time." But my mind can't say, I can't say that without thinking about Joel 2:25. "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent against you." Now I know what this is speaking about, and it's talking about Israel and how they offended God, but we are God's chosen people. And if you'll just surrender to God, it don't matter how long it's been, God is willing to restore. God is willing to help and to coach along and to still keep those arms out and just say, "Follow me." You may call and fall upon your face and say, "Lord," as Peter did in the ship, and say, "I am a sinful man. God, I'm sorry." And he'll just say, "Follow me." And you'll say, "Lord, I've done this and I've done that." And he'll say, "Follow me. My gifts and my calling are without repentance. I've called you and I'll still let you follow me if you will just put one foot in front of the other and follow me." And that's the message tonight. If, like I said, if it's not for anybody, it's for me right here. Just an encouragement, just to keep following the Lord, just to... Let me ask you, what is more important? The things of this life, that are going to pass away, or the things of God that will last for all in eternity. It is so easy for us to see the temporal things and to get caught up in it. And, you know, you can look at a bunch of false religions, and they've got some people that give up everything and live in solitary because they feel like what they're doing will please their God. They have no problem giving up the things of this life for their God. What about us that serve the true and living God? What about us that have a living word that can speak to us, that can change lives, that's sharper than any two-edged sword, that's quick and powerful? What about us? What does that say about us if we will not follow? It's not too late. It's not too far gone. It's not too much to just follow God and say, God, wherever you'd have me to go, whatever you'd have me to do, just use me. Just accomplish your will in my life. If you will, let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Brother Shepherd, you can come. Father, I do thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, for those that are here tonight. And Lord, I just pray that your will would be accomplished. And help us, Lord, to follow you. Though we might get discouraged, help us to follow you. Lord, though we might get distracted, help us, Lord, just to follow you. And I pray you'd help, Lord, by putting blinders upon us and help us to be focused upon your word, that it might be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we'll bless you and praise you in all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.